Welcome back. I hope everybody got their Baptist nap this afternoon. I just tell the pastors, you know, I don't know if it's just me or if the rest of y'all feel the same way, but I just cannot used to this getting dark and coming back to church in the dark. It's just driving me crazy. It's like I should be at home getting ready to go to bed, you know. Here we are back at church. Well, amen. That's good though, amen. And I'm glad to be in the house of God this evening. Brother Jim DeLucia, would you open up our service with a word of prayer, sir?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us all to be able to gather here. We pray that you'd help Pastor give us the message that you intended for him to preach and that we'd all take it into heart and have these things not to be forgotten, but put aside until the day is needed in our minds to bring it back for a certain situation or for certain the time for another person to hear. Pray that you'd help us all to take these things seriously and know to come back each day when we have church doors open. And we thank you for all these people that are here in the name of the Lord Jesus, wanting to hear his word. In Jesus' most precious name, amen.
Amen. If you would, folks, stand with me and sing 663. Make me a blessing. 663.
Thursday, and that's all I have, brother.
All right.
if you would. Let's everyone stand. We'll sing together. 805. You know, Pastor alluded to it earlier this morning, but you know, you may notice we say brother and sister around here. Amen. So we're going to sing about the family of God, which I am indeed thrilled to be a part of.
Oh, Speak over my spirit. Spirit forever.
Amen. Thank the Lord for His peace tonight. Thank the Lord for His peace. Take your Bibles, if you will. We're going to continue on with our study in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, please stand if you're able to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 13. Last week we were looking at some things concerning what I believe to be to the pre-tribulation rapture. I don't believe the church is subject to the wrath of God. In the book of Revelation, we find one of those reasons here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the same type of thing here. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this opportunity this evening. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the blessed hope, dear God. Thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. Lord, thank you for peace. God, thank you for comfort. Thank you for strength and encouragement. Lord, I pray you'd help us now this evening. Lead, God, and direct in all that's said and done, that you would receive the glory, honor, and praise. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we looked a little bit this morning. I talked about it during the Sunday school hour. But the Bible says here in verse number 18 of chapter 4, it says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Comfort. We just sang a song there talking about what the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us, and He gives to us peace. He gives to us joy. He gives to us comfort. And He gives to us hope, which the world does not have. The world does not have hope. The world does not have comfort, though it may think it does. When it comes down to it, they don't. I want you to take your Bible real quick and flip over to 2 Timothy. And I want you to look at chapter 2, and I want you to look at verse number 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. Now, as you look at this study, and quite a few different studies in the Bible, especially when you start getting into end time events, it's impossible to put it all or jam it all into a 30 or 45 minute message on a Sunday night. Usually, there's an individual I know right now going through the book of Romans, and he's only in chapter number, I believe chapter 12, and he's already done 149 lessons at about a half hour pop. So you take these things dealing, especially with end times and the Lord returning and the rapture or the blessed hope or the translation of the church. And then you take in there the Lord's second advent when he comes back at the end of the 7-year tribulation. It's hard to go through in just 30 minutes and cover every scripture that deals with it. But look what the Bible says here. Paul writing to Timothy, he says in chapter 2, verse 15, he says this to Timothy, and this is to all of us that are saved and believe in God and love Him and have been born again. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, he says to study to show thyself approved unto God. So everyone in here who claims to be a believer, claims to have the new birth, God has charged you and charged myself with this charge of that we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And then this next part, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. There are divisions in the Bible. Your basic division in the Bible is Old Testament, New Testament. I remember talking to a young man here, this was last year, around December of last year, and he says, there's no divisions in the Bible. I said, young man, you have right in your Bible, you have Old Testament and New Testament. That is a division. Right now, there is a division in the Bible of, we don't bring a lamb for our sins to a temple and a priest sacrifices it. That's no longer in play right now. Number one, there is no temple no more. It was destroyed in AD 70. And that temple was given to the Jewish people, and the laws were given to the Jewish people, and the statutes and the commandments, even the Ten Commandments, was given to the Jewish people. The Gentiles had nothing to do with the Ten Commandments. Are the Ten Commandments good? Yes. But it was to the Jew we're given the Ten Commandments. The Sabbath day. If we're, everybody in here, I believe, for the most part, I believe is a Gentile, we are not underneath the Sabbath. We don't meet on Friday night to Saturday night, the Sabbath days. We no longer, we're not under that. That was to the Jewish people. So Paul tells Timothy, he says, listen, Timothy, I want you to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, this morning we looked at in the Sunday morning service hour, talking about two types of wisdom in the world. You have an earthly wisdom, where James chapter 3 talks about a wisdom that is earthly, it's sensual, and it's devilish. And then you have another wisdom that James talks about, which descends from above, and it's peaceable, it's pure, it's easy to be entreated. Now, this is what I want you to think tonight. The Lord does not desire for us to be anxious. We looked at it last week and at Sunday night in the book of Philippians, I believe, where Paul tells him to be careful for nothing. Now, one issue I have, and I said it this morning, that I've seen individuals who believe that the church is going to go through the tribulation. I don't think there's been one person yet that I've met, and I've dealt with quite a few individuals here since coming to this church as a pastor, that believe we're going through the tribulation, and they're anxious. There's this young man I'm dealing with for almost this whole year now. And every time I see him, he's anxious, he's worried, he's angry. He's got an attitude of like, yeah, God needs to get them. God needs to strike them down with fire. And then he's worried about how he's going to make it through the tribulation. That is not coming from God. Brethren, I'm telling you, that spirit, if that spirit puts you off in a corner and it's got you scared, it's got you worried, it's got you anxious, it's got you angry, that is not coming from the Lord. That's earthly, it's sensual, and it's devilish. God does not desire for us to be anxious over anything. Brethren, we are secure in Jesus Christ. Brethren, we're secure in Jesus Christ. Take your Bible. Last week we looked at the Jewish male virgins who are sealed in their forehead, Revelation chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 14. I'm not going to go through those verses again, but I want you to take your Bible and I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 21. In the book of Revelation, you get into chapter number 7, and you find 144,000 Jewish male virgins get sealed in their forehead by God. And after they get sealed in their forehead, that seal is something special because it says to everyone else and all that's going on that it cannot hurt them. You go into the next chapter, next couple chapters, and there's scorpions that come up from the bottomless pit that have given an ability to sting mankind and cause all kinds of torment. Those scorpions cannot touch those 144,000 Jewish male virgins because they're sealed in their forehead. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I want you to look at verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 21. Look what the Bible says here. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Look what it says in verse 22. Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God seals you, and you now have that earnest. Look, when you go to a store, or when you buy a house, what do you have to put down? Earnest money. A down payment. And what that down payment is saying to the person that's selling it is that, I'm serious about this. Here's $15,000 that I'm putting down on it, and I'm good to get the rest of the money because I'm coming back for this house because I want it to be mine. You see, when you get sealed, when you're saved, you get sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, and that earnest money, that the Lord says, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to show that you're mine, and someday I'm coming back and I'm redeeming you. You're mine. You're sealed. This is my earnest. The Holy Spirit of God is given to you. I'm coming back for you someday. We're sealed when we get saved. Take your Bible, look over to Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 1. Ephesians 1 verse 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, of your salvation. Look what it says here. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You were, the day you get saved, you were sealed with the Spirit of promise. And that Spirit of promise is holy. The promise of what? The promise that you are now Christ. You are in Christ Jesus. He is in you and you're now sealed. Jump over to chapter 4, same book. Ephesians 4 verse 30. What he says here, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of what? Redemption. Where he comes back and he redeems you. There is going to be a redemption day, and I believe that redemption day is the rapture of the church. All right, so we're sealed. So we're sealed. And then you also find when you go into Revelation that these Jewish male virgins, that they're also sealed in their foreheads. Now, there's a difference between the church and Jewish laws and observances. Take your Bible and look at Isaiah chapter number 66. We're going to be looking at some Bible tonight because that's the only way to get what we need to see. But I've said this before, when the church goes out, the bride of Christ goes out, We're not under the laws. We're not under the commandments. We're not under the statutes that were established to the Jewish people. Once Christ came, he fulfilled the law. The Bible says he fulfilled the law. He died on that cross. The ordinance were nailed there. He paid the price. He shed his blood to wash away our sins. We can't keep the law, but now that we're in Him, the law is complete because we're in Christ. We don't have to worry about bringing a lamb. We don't have to worry about keeping the Sabbath. We don't have to worry about all the laws and the statutes and the commandments that were listed in the Old Testament. We are complete in Jesus Christ because He fulfilled the law. Isaiah chapter 66, though, verse 20. Look what the Bible says here. Now, this is coming in, this is millennium into the new heavens and the new earth. The law is going to come back into play again. The commandments are going to come back into play again, but not for the bride of Christ. Look what the Bible says in Isaiah 66, 20. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts to where? To my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith the Lord. As the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. Look what he says in verse 21. And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Who is that seed and who is that name? The Jewish people. The seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The physical seed of Abraham. There will be another physical nation of Israel. A physical Jewish seed of men and women all through eternity. And there will be Levites, there'll be priests, they'll bring offerings. It's going back to the way it was. The new heavens and new earth, so that your seed and your name remain. Church is not here yet. This has nothing to do with the church. This has everything to do with the Jewish people. Look at verse 23. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and look at this now, from one Sabbath to another, the Sabbath is coming back into play again. Even into the millennium, into the new heavens and the new earth, there's going to be a temple of God again. The new heavens, the new earth, from one Sabbath to another. Look what he says. Shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. Who said that? Jesus talked about the book of Matthew. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And they shall be an abhorring to all flesh. Now, I don't know how all that works out. But I don't know if it's gone away, new heaven, new earth. All I know is at some point here, when they bring their oblations, when they bring their sacrifices up to Jerusalem, somehow, some way, they're going to be able to see that smoke ascending up. And those that have rejected God and are being tormented for forever, they're going to be able to see that and somehow understand it. Don't ask me how it all works. But I believe the Bible shows that. Because it says in verse 24, and they shall go forth and look. What are they looking upon? The carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. Look what it says. For their worm, T-H-E-I-R, their worm shall not die. Strange things, brethren, strange things. So anyways, it's going back to Jewish laws and observances. Look over at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians, the book of Colossians chapter 2. And I want you to look at Colossians 2 verse 16. Colossians chapter 2 verse number 16. So in Isaiah 66, you see it going back to Sabbath days, to new moons, to bringing oblations and sacrifices to the Lord. But look what Paul tells the church at Colossae in chapter 2, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of the holy day, or of the new moons, or of the Sabbath days. Look what verse 17 says. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. These things are shadows of things to come. Take your Bible, look over at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. Same thing is said in Hebrews 10, 1. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 1, the same thing is said. Hebrews 10, 1. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. Chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of, look at this, of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. You see, if any individual comes up to us today and they say, you're disobeying God because you're not keeping the Sabbath, I don't need to keep the Sabbath. Seventh-day Adventists, they believe what we're doing is wrong because they meet on the Sabbath day. But my thing is, if we have to meet on the Sabbath day and keep the laws of God, why don't we have to bring a lamb every time we sin? That is the most important thing, the lamb, the blood that needs to be shed for our sins, not the Sabbath day. We're not under that note. We're not, the church is not under the laws of God. Why? Because they're fulfilled in Christ Jesus. I don't have to keep the Sabbath because it was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. He fulfilled the laws of God for me. Now, the Lord's not done, and this is, I've had some individuals tell me this, well, the God's done with the Jews. I don't know how you can read your Bible and think that the Lord is done with the Jewish people. Again, an individual, I asked them this question. I said, well, have you read the book of Isaiah? Well, no, I haven't read the book. Have you read Zechariah? No, I've never read Zechariah. Have you read Ezekiel? Well, no, maybe once I read a little bit, but I've never read through the whole book of Ezekiel. Then stop talking. Stop talking. Because if you read through these books, Hosea, we're going to look at, God is not done with the Jewish people. God is not done with Israel. And if you pay any attention to the news, the place that gives this world the most fit is that little piece of land over there in the Middle East called Israel. Now, there were some commentators of old that had a problem with this because up until 1948, Israel was not a nation. If you got a map, a world map in 1945 during World War II, at the end of World War II, and you were to look on that map in the area of there in the Middle East, you would have not seen a nation called Israel. It did not exist. There was no nation of Israel in 1945. But God performed a miracle in 1948 and Israel became a nation again. And if you do any studying on that, it was a miracle of God. The Six-Day War, there's generals at West Point, at VMI. I've heard this about those that study battle scenes. They don't even study the Six-Day War because it makes no sense how Israel won. None. They don't study it. You know why? Because God did a miracle in bringing his people back to the nation of Israel. Now, we don't got time to look at it tonight, but the nation of Israel that is there right now that you could fly over and see and travel and tour, someday soon, those Jews are going to be scattered again. They're going to be scattered again. But God's going to bring them in the last time, and he's going to keep them in forever. God's not done with the Jew. Take your Bible, look at Hosea, the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter number 3, and I want you to look at verse number 3. Book of Hosea. You got Ezekiel, Daniel. You got Hosea chapter number 3. Hosea chapter 3, and I want you to look at verse number 3. Now, for a little asterisk here as we read Hosea. Hosea was a contemporary with the prophet Isaiah and Micah. And his message, as you read through the book of Hosea, his message was to the northern kingdom of Israel. I say that to say this, that you'll see here in a second. Look at Hosea 3:3. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for many days, and thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, but also be for thee. Look what it says in verse 4. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without a teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God. And look what it says, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Brethren, as soon as the church is out of here, things get crazy wild. The Bible says here that at some point in future. Now, I believe it's at the end of the tribulation. David is going to come back in again and rule and reign as a king over there in Israel. Wild stuff. Wild stuff. You say a preacher that, well, he's talking. No, like I said earlier, Hosea is addressing the northern kingdom of Israel. David's already dead. David's already gone. David, at this point, when Hosea is writing this, David's in the grave. He's in a sepulcher. He's not alive. And yet Hosea says that David someday again is going to be the king over Israel. That means God's not done with the Jew yet. Take your Bible and look at Luke chapter 21, verse 24. Luke 21, 24. Book of Luke, chapter number 21 and verse number 24. Luke 21, 24. Luke chapter 21, verse 24. Look what the Bible says here. We looked at it a little bit last week, talking about them fleeing on the Sabbath day and the abomination of desolation. But look at verse 24 here in Luke chapter 21. It says, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword," referring to the Jews, "and shall be led away," look what it says here, "and shall be led away captive into all nations." That's yet to come. That is yet to come. "And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Flip over to Romans chapter number 11. We're going to look at two more portions of scriptures here. Romans chapter 11. Romans 11 and verse number 1. And then we're going to look at the book of Amos. Romans 11, 1. God's done with the Jewish people. Well, obviously you're not reading Romans chapter 11 and verse number 1. "I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I am also an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias? He maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. What Paul's saying here is, listen, when Jesus Christ came on the scene, he says in John chapter 1, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came to his people, the Jewish people, the sheep of Israel, and they rejected their Messiah. They rejected the Christ. They knew, according to Daniel chapter 9, we're not going to get into it tonight, but they knew who Jesus was. They had dates set on when the Messiah was going to show up. And if any Jew comes to you and says, we're still waiting on the Messiah, they are totally disregarding Daniel chapter 9, which gives them the time frame when the Messiah would show up on the scene. And it would be around 483 years after they started to rebuild with Nehemiah and Ezra. After 483 years after they started to rebuild Jerusalem, the Messiah was to come on the scene. And who was that? That was Jesus Christ. They knew Jesus was the Messiah. They rejected him. They killed him, and they thought that they would then become the heir. The Jews rejected Jesus. What did they say when he was going to cross? His blood be upon us. Now, what do you think God's going to do with that? That's his people. That's his people. And they basically spit in his face and said, his blood be upon us. The one who came to take away their sins and redeem them, their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, they rejected him. Brethren, I'm here to submit to you tonight that the tribulation is God's wrath poured out upon his people to correct them in measure. It's to the Jew. It's a time of Jacob's trouble. You see, God's not done with the Jew yet. And you have the 69 weeks have been fulfilled and we're still waiting on that final week. But right now we're on pause mode. It's almost like you've been watching a video like a movie and we put it on pause and then some stuff occurs and then you release the pause button. It goes right back to the Jew again. The church was a mystery. You read through the Old Testament, they had no idea about the church. Look how surprised they were when they realized the Gentiles could get the Holy Ghost just like them. They had no idea. The church was a mystery according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So the Bible says here that the Jew was giving a spirit of blindness. A veil is still over their face. They cannot see what God has for them in their Messiah, Jesus Christ. And Paul says in verse number 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? The Jew has stumbled. The Jewish nation, the nation of Israel has stumbled. Now there's still individual Jews who get saved, but as a whole, the nation has stumbled. But have they stumbled to where they should fall and be a done way with? God forbid. But look what it says. But rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles. For what purpose? For to provoke them to jealousy. Now look at verse 12. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, glory to God, brethren. The Jew, listen, rejected the Savior, and now he came to us Gentile dogs, and he's given us riches and promises that we can't even begin to comprehend. What, brethren, I'll tell you this again, I've said it before. You can take everything this world has to give you. I don't want it. I don't care. I don't care what this world has to give me. I don't want anything you can offer me because it can't even come close. It's not even worthy to be compared what I have in Jesus Christ. You know what? When I go to sleep tonight, I can lay my head on my pillow and have peace. My conscience is clear. I no longer have a burden of guilt upon my shoulders because of the sins I've committed that nobody in this world knows about. Brethren, there's things that we've done that nobody knows about but God. What glory it is to have that weight lifted off my shoulders and now receive the promises of that precious book. One thing I've realized, and some of you here could testify to it even more, is brethren, it just seems like life flies quick. And a lot of jobs I've had in the past, fortunately, I've seen a lot of death and people dying. But what it's done for me is, hopefully, I continue to keep it in my mind. It's to ask God to help, Lord, help me to keep it continually in mind. Lord, to number my days that I may set my heart towards wisdom. Teach me to number my days, dear God, because I realize, Lord, how quick I can pass from this life to the next. One breath away, one heartbeat away, we're crossing over. And you know what it's done? What it should do? It shouldn't put fear there. It should put a greater earnest to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 13, Romans chapter 11. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, the Jewish people, and might save some of them. Look what he says in verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, look what it says next. What shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the fruit first be holy, the lump be holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Look what he says in verse 18. You know how I know individuals are wrong who got this replacement theology mess? They got an attitude towards Israel. What does the Bible says your attitude towards Israel should be? Verse number 18, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, but because of unbelief, they were broken off and thou standest by faith. Look what he says. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity. But towards thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in belief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. Look at this, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant unto them. Who's getting the covenant? The Jewish people. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, look what it is, they are beloved for the Father's sake. God is not done with the Jewish people. He's not done with them yet. It's not over yet for the Israelites. There's temple here been put on pause. The focus is not on Israel right now. The focus is on Christ, the church. But as soon as the church is taken out of here, what does the Bible say? Severity. It talks about verse number 23. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your conceit, that blindness is part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the times the Gentiles come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. It goes right back to the Jewish people again. Now, I'm going to close with one verse and look at it here in Amos. Take your Bible, look at Amos chapter 9, verse 14 and 15. We'll close with these two verses. Amos chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. Amos chapter 9, last chapter in Amos, in the last two verses. Amos chapter 9, verse 14 and 15. Try and establish here, there's a lot more verses that deal with these things. How the Lord is not done, and he will again work upon the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. Amos chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. I think why a lot of individuals have trouble with this is because they see how, for the most part, the Jewish people or Jews are behind a lot of the wickedness that is in this world. A lot of this wickedness in this world. Hollywood has a lot of Jewish influence behind it. Israel itself, for the most part, that nation there does not love God, wants nothing to do with God, is quite secular, and is against God's commandments. But that does not mean that God is done with them. You know what? I'm glad that God wasn't done with me. Brethren, think about that for a second. I'm almost done here. We're going to close in prayer. I'm going to read these two verses and we're going to close. Brethren, think of what we've done to God. And think of it in the light of, what are we? We're nothing more than flesh and bone. There's not much to us. There's not much to us. But I'm amazed at God's mercy and his grace just towards me. I'm amazed that God puts up with me. I said this before, if I could bring in some Play-Doh in here, and I can roll out that Play-Doh and I can make a little individual, and put a head on them, put a body, put some legs, and put some arms on them and some hands. And I take them and I put that little thing right there. And I have the ability to give it life. And I give this thing life, and it now has the ability to walk around and do and move as it pleases, because it now has animation to it. And if all of a sudden that little thing that I created, that I've been able to give animation and life to, all of a sudden turns around and gives me the middle finger, it's not going to last very long. It's going to be immediate. Or who do you think you are? I don't want you. We'll start all over again with this thing. But how many times have individuals done things like that to God, and yet God is merciful, God is gracious, God is kind, God is long-suffering, God looks at it and says, I'm going to give you time, I'm going to give you space, I'm going to give you opportunities to make things right with me. Why? Because I love you. Why does God show mercy? Because he loves us. For God so loved the world. But too many people in the world take the love of God for granted and use it as liberty to continue on in doing the sins that they are doing, rather than turning from their sins and turning to the one that can relieve them of their sins, forgive them of their sins, wash away their sins, and give them peace and freedom from guilt, and cleanse their conscience, and now have be in a right relationship with a God that loves them. Brother, have you ever had somebody you love hurt you? But my God that loves me will never leave me nor forsake me. And if he does happen to hurt me, it's for my own good. You know, I used to tell those kids in the juvenile center, there's a lot of them that I spent time with that didn't have a daddy or didn't have a mama. And if they did have a daddy, he was in prison. If they did have a mama, she might be in prison as well. And a lot of those kids that I dealt with for those 6 years didn't know what true love was. And when they were able to have an individual come in and show them attention and show them love and show them care, it's amazing that the most hardened, criminal, gangster kid that would be hard and wouldn't give you the time of day, but if you're able to get in there and show them that you really cared for them and you love them, they latched on to you like they wouldn't let go of you. Brethren, that ought to be the same way with us when we realize what we are before God. It ought to make us just want to put our arms around his legs and never let go again. You know, we talk about singing songs about heaven, and I really believe this in my own heart. It really don't matter to me really what heaven looks like. I'm sure it's going to be very beautiful, and I'm sure it's going to take my breath away. But I just want to see Jesus. I just want to see Jesus. Heaven to me is not heaven without Jesus Christ. I want to see the one. I want to see the man. I want to see the man that became God, the God that became man in the flesh, God manifested in flesh. I want to see the one who is willing to be beaten for me. I want to see the one who is willing to go to the cross for me. I want to see the one that was willing to have the nails pierced through his hands for me. I want to see the one that was willing to put to stay there and have that crown of thorns platted upon his head. I want to see the one who went through all that for me, and I want to fall down at his feet and worship him. That's what I desire. I want to see his hands. I want to see his feet. I want to see him. I want to see the one that's loved me like no other individual has ever loved me. Do you understand tonight? Jesus loves us more than any individual on this earth could ever love us. The love of God, oh, how can it be? The love of God, the love of Jesus Christ. Amos chapter 9, verse 14 says this, "And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel. And they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. And they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. There's a land covenant over there, brethren. There's something special about that land over there. That land there in Israel, there's something special about it. And God tells here in Amos, he says, listen, I will plant the Jewish people there again, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. It's going back to the Jew again very soon, very quickly. It's going to go right back to the Jewish people again. And I believe that's going to take place once the church and the bride of Christ is out of here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for this time to be able to gather together, dear Lord. Lord, I love you. And Lord, help me to love you more. God, help me to draw closer to you, dear Lord. Lord, thank you for this Bible. Thank you for the ability to be able to read and hear and speak and see. God, thank you for these things. And Lord, I pray you'd help us now as we go forward through this week. Lord, if you should tarry, dear God, and you allow us to go on, Lord, may our lives bring glory and honor to thee. And Lord, help us to understand these things. Lord, help us to comfort one another with these words, dear God, that someday soon you're coming to call us home. Someday soon you're coming through those clouds, and we're going to go up through the sky and meet you in the air and forever be with you. Lord, help us to prepare ourselves for this. Lord, help us to walk in the light of it. Lord, help us to place all our faith and trust on you. And we just pray these things now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Let's stand and close with a song here tonight. Page number 186.
I let you down on a daily basis now. But Lord, I thank you that you love me. I love me in spite of myself. Each one of these folks in here tonight, you love in spite of ourselves. Lord, I pray that you would help us each day to remember what you've done. Help us to share it with others. Help us to live it. We thank you for this time. Thank you for folks that find this still important enough to come out and learn more about you. Learn about what your son's done for us. Thank you for it. Thank you for this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.